Welcome back to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast, and happy Labor Day if you're catching this on September 5th, on the day of release. We appreciate you tuning in today, and just want to say thank you so much for following along and for listening today. I am really excited about today's episode. Today I'm joined by Chris Creed of Afflictor Broadheads, and broadheads are fascinating. I've watched, I don't know how many broadhead reviews on YouTube, and read articles on the internet and interesting stuff. So with all that said, Afflictor is the broadhead that I've chosen to run well prior to talking to Chris or anyone else at Afflictor. And talking to him just made me feel even better about my decision. Great guy, great company, and some great broadheads, and you'll hear him talk about the benefits of their design. There's a bunch out there. There's a bunch that are good, and he even alludes to the fact that there are certain bows and people that may need to run something other than Afflictor, which, you know, you won't hear too many people say that, but who run a company. But they really just want to get you something that's going to work, so when you go to the woods, you're going to come back with a nice clean and quick harvest. So that's the plan, and I appreciate him taking the time to explain some things. We dive into all kind of good stuff. We talked a little bit about the heavy arrow craze and the fact that maybe balance is something to consider as well, although both of us agree if it works for you, shoot whatever you want. So anyway, we'll see. I'm sure some people will disagree with us, but one way or the other, but that's okay. Anyway, appreciate Chris joining me. Just enjoyed this episode so much. Hope you guys enjoy listening. And as always, we're brought to you by Anabolic Grow. I really appreciate the guys over there. And you can jump back to episode 27 that I did with Todd Karen of Anabolic Grow, and you can find all the details of how that works. It's a naturally occurring, I think it's a microbial or enzymes or something like that. They can get into the scientific stuff. Here's the thing. It's going to help your food plots turn out better. You're going to get higher yields, and it's going to be better tasting for the deer. All that good stuff might keep them off the neighbors. You know, that's the idea. And you can always use Wannabe Hunting 10 to get a little discount there. But I think they've got some Labor Day sale type stuff going on as well. So check out Anabolic Grow. That's GRO.com, and appreciate them sponsoring as always, and appreciate you listening as always. Let's jump into this episode with Chris Creed of Afflictor Broadheads.
Yeah, I thought the wannabe thing really fit me. You know, it was just funny starting a podcast being such a new hunter, but I was like, you know, I think it can identify with a lot of people, you know, whether you've been hunting for 5 days or 50 years. You're sitting in the office today probably wanting to be hunting. So it kind of felt like it touched the nerve there.
Yeah, I agree. And kudos to you for starting a podcast as a new hunter. I mean, that's just, I think that's awesome. It's so hard for new hunters to get the right information anymore. If they're looking in the wrong spots, like social media and stuff, they can really get on the wrong trail quick. So I applaud you for doing this.
Well, I appreciate it. And that was part of my motivation to do it, was education for myself. And my thought was I can share that through the podcast and, you know, help some people who are in the same boat, you know, whether they're a little newer or a little further along, still
sure.
Put some good information out. So
sure. That's great.
Cool, man. Well, we've kind of already jumped into it, but I want to give you a chance to introduce everyone or introduce yourself to everyone.
Sure.
And then we'll kind of dive into a few of the things that I mentioned yesterday.
Yeah, no problem. Well, my name's Chris, and I've been in the industry for just over 20 years. Worn a lot of hats in the industry, been able to work with a lot of great companies in those 20 years. during that time, partner and I also started our own business in the industry selling products. And we thought, well, it'd be a great idea if we would just add other products to what we were doing. And so we kind of developed our own little rep group and ran around for a few years and decided that that wasn't the hot ticket either. So we just started independently contracting for companies that needed direct help with anything from design, research, patents, bringing a product from the, you know, the cutting room floor all the way to Bass Pro. So we kind of just specialize catering in products. Before that, all my background was medical, but during all of my time working in the medical field, I couldn't wait to get out of it. I was burned out and worn out. And my background from my youth is I've been blessed to be an outdoors kid from the very beginning. My whole family hunted and fished. My grandfather went through the Depression. They supplied their family, sustained them through the Depression by hunting and fishing. And those values never left. I mean, in fact, my mom is a hunter and my dad is a hunter. My mom can outshoot just about anybody in the family with her 410 on a running rabbit. So I've been very fortunate. I was one of those kids, you know, I had a 22 and a 410 by five. The backside to that is I can't even tell you how to keep score in a football game. I have no idea. I've never been an organized sports guy, but you know, you want to know the breeding cycle of a dragonfly nymph or something stupid like that. That useless trivia. That's where I thrive.
That's super cool. And I'm down here in SEC country, so I'm pretty big on football, but
that's okay. You're allowed to be.
I appreciate that. Played, believe it or not, you wouldn't know it looking at my my full, you know, 5'8" and 3/4" frame, but I did play basketball in high school, so I enjoy that. But
that's good. I enjoyed sports when my kids played them. When my son was a big basketball person, my daughter was a volleyball person, I loved it. But outside of that, I don't have any interest. I mean, our daily routine here outside of work is the outdoors. Our vacations all revolve around hunting and fishing. We are 80% self-sustaining here, so we are constantly putting up canning, freezing. We even pressure can fish and turtle and venison and bear and whatever else we can get. So we're constantly in a flux here at my house of putting something up. And so even right now, the counter is full of plums and grapes. So tonight's project after work is grape jelly, plum jam, and my wife promised me a grape pie. So I'm excited about that.
Nice. That is super cool. That's something like I was talking to a guy Monday and doing a podcast. And I was saying, you know, I only have a couple packages of ground venison left. And we're a few weeks out from season here. And it's like, I'm thinking, all right, you know, I need at least two deer and maybe three. And, you know, it interests me, like from canning vegetables and, you know, the smallest garden, smallest raised bed you could imagine this year. But, you know, fantastic to make a few things with some banana peppers and some tomatoes that we grew. And so I'm wanting to go more that way. 80%, I would have a long way to go, but I'm looking to provide, you know, let's work on the meat for hunting, and yes. We'll see how the garden goes next spring maybe. But that's awesome, man. That's just so cool to me.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, when my kids were at home, we just, our last one just left the nest here 2 months ago. But when both were here, we needed 18 deer a year to get through the year. That's how many deer that we process just for us.
Wow. That's great.
We do all of our own stuff here. All of our friends come over when they get deer and we have a good time, make a big deal out of cutting them up. And, you know, it's another social event.
That's cool. That's awesome. My kids are 3 and 1. And so they've, you know, got a little smaller appetite than teenagers, but pretty cool to see them, you know, just going to town on like some venison meatloaf or grilled wild turkey or something.
Yes, sir.
Very rewarding. So that's cool.
Yes, it is. Good stuff.
That's awesome, man. Well, not considering the rabbit time. I'm about to talk about afflictor broadheads and stuff. You know, I saw afflictor. I'm like a, you know, a serial John Lusk video broad view watcher, you know, just no matter what it is. And afflictor looked cool to me. The hybrid idea makes sense in my mind. You know, like I mentioned to you a couple of years ago, never taken an animal with a bow, new to this bow hunting, new to hunting in general, but just it made sense, kind of the design, the rear deploying, the hybrid.
Just
I was following, you know, logically, I guess, or whatever. And then, like I said, from the reviews I had read and seen, you know, seemed like good quality, durability, that type of thing. So that's kind of how I, you know, started following along. You know, this was pre the original Instagram account hacking. But you know, before all that, you know, started following along with you guys, had some encouragement from Alex Raimondo and, you know, Pops, you know.
Yes.
Shot them through a target and they fly great and everything. But I was like, you know, surely info out here on this. So let's go to the people doing it. So that's how this conversation came about. So if you could kind of just introduce us to afflictor or anything there that I mentioned that you want to comment on.
Yeah, sure. Well, afflictor was birthed out of the genius of a guy named Keith Powell out of Terrell, Texas. And he's been an avid hunter all over the world for years. He was the owner of Sportsmen's of North America. Some of your older guests will remember that. That was a TV show from yesteryears that gave away a hunt a week. It was extremely popular. And because his being out everywhere, hunting everywhere, he was starting to get really disappointed at that time in mechanicals and the failure rate they were having with the mechanicals of that day and age. And so he wanted to develop something different. So he set to work, and after you know, a long time, a lot of testing, he came up with this rear deploying broadhead that was activated by a drive key, which also is a bleeder blade. And so what we got was a hybrid that was very low profile, closed, 5/8 in diameter. But the second the drive key is activated and comes back, the blades are deployed from the rear. And the key to the whole thing is those blades are now locked open. So at entrance, what happens is the drive key is activated first, and now you basically have a locked fixed blade at entrance. So there's no energy loss, there's no band to cut, there's no O-ring over the blades, there's nothing that's going to take your energy away from the most important thing that you have to have with any broadhead, and that's momentum. You have to have the ability to pull your broadhead through your animal, no matter what broadhead that is. So the consideration is always, you know, these guys are shooting gigantic cut broadheads or broadheads that require a lot of energy, but they may not have the right arrow weight, they may not have the right design, and they have failures because of that. And it's not necessarily the broadhead's fault. A lot of times it's the archer and the setup. So Keith wanted to eliminate all of that. And that's how afflictor got birthed. And his first two designs were the K2 hybrid and the hybrid EXT. The difference was the original K2 is 1 3/4 cut, and the hybrid EXT was 1.5 inches. And both of those started the whole thing. And it was a, you know, a success out the door, making them in a small shop right next to his house. And that was the birth of afflictor.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, and that's, you know, not that that's the only broadhead company started by, you know, a very experienced longtime hunter, but it is kind of cool that it was somebody with, you know, through his show and through hunting all over the world or whatever, someone with experience in a lot of different circumstances doing that design.
Right.
You know, I'm no artist, but, you know, I could draw up some kind of broadhead design.
Me too.
Like I said earlier, you know, I've watched a ton of broadhead reviews, and it's like, you can put any shape you want on that thing, throw it out there, it might work, you know?
That's right. But, and you know what's funny? it's been 7 years ago now, but I was at ATA with another company at the time, 7 years ago, and they introduced me to Keith, and he came to me and says, hey, I have this hybrid design broadhead. It's awesome. I hear you can really help me get it off the ground. And is this something you'd be interested in? He shows me the broadhead. I'm like, oh, this is really cool. I'm not interested. He says, well, what do you mean? I said, it's a mechanical. It has things that move. It can fail. It's not, I don't do anything mechanical, because at that time, I too had had, you know, a lot of experience with different television shows. I had worked with other broadhead companies. I had worked with shows with different broadhead sponsors. And at that time, I hated mechanicals. I mean, I didn't want anything to do with them. If I did a seminar or a talk, I was the guy preaching fixed blades only. You're making a huge mistake to try mechanical. That was my mindset. So when I first saw this design, I said the same thing. I'm not interested. Well, during that day, he came back to me three times. He's like, are you sure? I said, yeah, I'm not. This is something I don't even want to touch. I'm a fixed blade guy. He says, well, I'm going to send you some. So I got home, and a couple of days later, these 10 hybrid broadheads show up. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to be a jerk here. So I took out graph paper. I took out my scale. I took them apart. I weighed every part. I weighed every broadhead, wrote it all down. And I couldn't find anything wrong on that end. So I thought, well, I'm going to go outside. So I took my recurve and my compound outside, and I started shooting. And the more I tried to hate them, the more I fell in love with them, because they out-penetrated every broadhead I had in my arsenal out of the recurve and the compound, and sometimes by more than twice as much. And so as I continued my testing, I'm trying to hate these broadheads because they move, right? Even though they're hybrid, they move. And I'm falling in love with them. And by the time I was done tested, I called Keith up and I said, I'm in, and I'm willing to drop everything that I'm doing to make this happen. I was just an instant believer because of that design, and what I proved it out in the backyard. I was instantly in love, and it kind of changed my whole perspective back to, okay, moving parts might be okay. So, you know, at first I didn't like them, and now I would never even think about shooting anything else.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool story. You know, pretty, you know, convincing, I guess, if you're, you know, considering afflictors or any broadheads, you know, the fact that, one, it shows the importance of giving something a try, you know, testing out on your own, seeing how they fly, seeing how they cut, you know, on your own. But, you know, beyond that, specifically to afflictor, it's pretty cool to see how they literally changed your mind. So that's awesome.
Yeah, and you hit it on the head. You know, it's dangerous, I think, for a lot of new hunters to only, you know, maybe they're following somebody they like on TV or on social media, and they kind of hone in on that one person and their experience, and they tend to take that for gospel instead of doing some research and trying some other things and really learning that your bow, no matter what it is, has its own appetite. So nobody's bow is exactly the same. Nobody's arrow build is exactly the same. Nobody's draw length. All those factors don't ever equal identical situations. So I always tell people it's imperative. And, you know, we preach on our side, there's a lot of great broadheads out there. And if you shoot a flicker, great. But if you're going to shoot somebody else, just make sure it's the right broadhead for you, just as much as you would make sure a flicker is right for you. John Lusk does do a great job. I mean, he puts them through enough, you know, different scenarios that you can look at, you know, now tons of different broadheads and get a good idea and start to narrow it down to what's important to you. So I think it, you know, there's a lot of validity in making sure that you have checked out and investigated everything that, you know, appeals to you, but also is correct for your setup.
Right. Yeah. And that makes total sense. And kind of with all that said, I want you to kind of talk a little bit about the offerings from, you know, you first tried those K2s and EXTs, you know, basically hybrid model. And, you know, now there's multiple hybrid models and fixed models as well. So just kind of want to give you a chance to, you know, go into what y'all have and, like I said, when I messaged you the other day, just anything you want to kind of go into with, whether it be design. I mean, this is interesting to me. We'll see if it's interesting to folks listening, but.
Well, yeah, we do. I mean, we do have an array of hybrids, and a lot of, you know, the main differences are the two tips. So we have a wide angled K2 tip. So everything that's on our K2 platform has that wider tip. If it has an EXT in the name, then it's using our narrow angle tip. Now, when we first developed that narrow angle tip, the idea was, okay, well, this steeper angle is going to penetrate more. But what we found in most of our testing is that's not always true. Most of the time, they're pretty equal, depending on, you know, the media that you're shooting through. So what it really boils down to in our line is personal preference. So you have your bigger cut broadheads like the original K2 hybrid with the wide tip. And we also put the narrow tip on that same broadhead, and that's the Hybrid X. So you have those two broadheads are our biggest cut, but you have your choice of tip. But it's mostly personal preference because both of those penetrate nearly the same, like if we say in ballistic gel. After that, we have our Hybrid EXT, which is our original narrow angled continuous blade angle 1.5 cut. Real popular, that 1.5 cut for a lot of big game hunters, elk, moose, and such, because that 1.5 seems to be a sweet spot for penetration on larger game. For a typical arrow setup. Then we developed the minis, and the idea behind the minis was we wanted to be able to have a little bit shorter of a ferrule so we could offer more weight options. So when you look at our original line, you're looking at only 100 and 125 grain availability. But when you look at our minis, like the K2 Mini and Hybrid X Mini, those go from 100, 125, 150, 175, and 200 grains. So for the guy that wants a hybrid option and wants to really have a lot of FOC or, you know, really be weight forward, you know, we want to be able to provide that. Even some, you know, companies will flat out say, you know, 150 grains is the broadhead that you should be, the weight you should be shooting on your setup. After that, we develop the fixed, which has been phenomenal for us. Our fixed line is, in my opinion anyway, is special. We developed the fixed EXT, which is our steep angle, 1.25 cut with a bleeder. And that has been from Africa to Alaska, killed everything. It's extremely popular. And then our K2 fix is one that is super, super special because it's 1.125 and the secondary blade is a full inch, but it has shoulders on it. So what that does is it makes a 20 gauge slug hole wherever it goes, and it flies amazingly because of its profile. So we're finding the guys not only with recurves and compounds loving that K2 fixed, but even the highest speed crossbow guys, these guys that are now 500 feet per second and faster, are in love with that because it's flying great out of their high speed crossbows, and it's super durable because those blades are almost 60 thousandths thick. So it's a very tough broadhead. It's got a lot of reusability to it if you want to sharpen it. So in a nutshell, that's kind of the lineup all the way down. And so, you know, we have the hybrid models. They're all, like I said, they all function the same. They're all drive key activated. And then we have those two fixed. And both of those fixed are also available from 100 to 200 grains. And so, again, you know, the crossbows, there's crossbow companies that recommend, you know, you need, really need to shoot a 150 grain broadhead on your bolt. We wanted to make sure we were able to offer those heavy weights as well. So it's worked out extremely well for us across the whole line. And, you know, we're still a small company. You know, we have our own facility. We make everything in our shop in Terrell, Texas. And it's a nice little building. It's got several stations set up for building. And as we get parts, they are assembled in-house one at a time. Every part is inspected before the build. After they're built, they are spin tested. We weigh them. They're packaged according to similar weight. And then we package and ship ourselves. So every single broadhead from start to finish happens in our own hands, which allows us not only to control the quality side of it, but also to give the best customer service we can.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I've had great experience. I've ordered a few a few sets now, and you know, good on shipping and you know everything. Never had any issues with quality myself. Like I said, I'm not necessarily you know, busting out a you know, little measuring thing for the blades or whatever. Can't even think of the word. Anyway, but you know, like I said, as far as you know, in hand, you know, looking at them close and everything, the quality is definitely, you know, fantastic from my perspective. So that's all
good. Thank you.
Yeah, and it's cool. I like. There's a lot of offering. You know, I've scrolled the website before, and you see a bunch of broadheads offered. It's kind of interesting that it's really kind of going off of the K2 and the EXT. Like those are kind of two, you know, frames or whatever you want to call it. You know, it starts from there.
Yes. But
then a lot of different things you can do between the mini and the regular and the hybrid and the fixed.
Yeah, there is. It gave us a lot of options. And what was interesting is, you know, we're one of the few companies that can interchange all of our parts. And so that makes it really cool to be able to, you know, to broaden our selection because of that. You know, sometimes it's a pain in the neck to have so many SKUs, but since we're consumer direct only at the moment, it's nice. You know, if you get back into the retail sector, then having all those SKUs sometimes can be a real pain in the neck.
Yeah, I can sort of imagine. I've never gone through all that, but I can only imagine. So that's cool. I wanted to ask you kind of about, you know, I call it the heavy arrow craze or whatever.
Adult arrows.
Exactly. And the way, let me tell you this, which you can tell me I'm 100% wrong, whatever you want to say, but let me say this going into it. I'm not anti Dr. Ashby, or I don't bash the Ranch Ferry or whatever. That's not my deal. But I pull about 60 pounds, 28 inches. There's no chance I'm trying to run a 650 grain arrow. I mean, no chance. So I guess my point on not being an experienced bow hunter, not knowing, you know, I've never done tournament archery. I'm not an expert, but just looking at everything you can find with, you know, the good old internet research, I'm thinking there's got to be balance somewhere along the way. And I've looked at my recent arrow builds. I'm, you know, making them myself, and they come out slightly heavy for what, you know, what some people might have for my draw. But I mean, nowhere like, you know, still like sub 500 grains. But
yeah.
Anyway,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I just want to kind of get, because guy builds my strings. He said, you know, go up one spine, run a little bit more weight, you know, that type of thing. I was like, okay, cool. And he's a super nice guy, nothing crazy. He's not advising me to do anything, you know, run a 200, you know, grain broadhead or anything with my setup. But, you know, he said, yeah, run a little bit more up there. And current arrows I have actually already have a 55 grain insert. So I really only needed 100 grain heads, but still kind of, you know, gives me some, you know, some good weight up front and everything. That's all cool. But, you know, it's like, it's come to a point, you know, like I said, on the old internet where it's like, you've either got to be in the heavy arrow camp or the light arrow camp. And I watched your video on YouTube and it made a lot of sense to me because it was more along my way of thinking, like, surely there's a balance here.
Yeah, there's a balance. And the first thing that you have to consider is, what are you hunting and how are you hunting it? So if you look at Ashby's research, which is, it is excellent research, but it is on African game, on the actual animal with super heavy stuff. Right. That can't be duplicated again unless somebody goes to Africa and does it, based on all of our, anything that's changed since he did that original test. Now, I'm not saying that there's bad information there, because there isn't. That's good. It is good information. But again, that may not all be applicable to the guy shooting a whitetail out of his tree stand at 15 yards.
Right.
In fact, it's not. There is always a point in time where you've had too much of a good thing. FOC is important. You should consider it, because momentum is the key to the whole deal. momentum overrules everything else, because that is the factor that pulls your broadhead through your animal, allows it to tackle bone and keep on going. So that is the key factor. When you are looking at a super heavy arrow, you are slowly losing something, even though you may be gaining momentum. You are definitely losing speed at a faster rate. So now if you're an out west elk guy and you want to take an 80-yard shot on an elk and you have a 700 grain arrow, my goodness, you better have practiced that shot and that elk better not move. Right? Because there's too much that can go wrong. If you're shooting rainbows, anything can happen. I mean, at 20 yards, a whitetail can duck your perfectly placed arrow if you didn't compensate for it. And so the further your distance goes from an animal and the more wary that animal is, the higher your chance of him bellying out before your arrow gets there. So the advantage to heavy arrow, yes, you are going to increase your momentum, but you can get to a point to where you're going backwards, as how it's always proved out for me anyway. If you want to look at FOC percentages, you'll see anything generally recommended between 10 and 15%. I like to be right in that 13% range for me and my setups. I think that's very adequate, and I can do that with an arrow under 500 grains, no problem at all. Mm-hmm. Because Dr. Ashby, I think, is 19 or better percent that he's recommending. And again, there's nothing wrong for that if that's suited for the game and the distances that you're hunting. But for the average guy shooting whitetail, shooting turkeys, I don't feel that it's necessary to sacrifice that speed to gain that momentum when you don't really have to have it.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. And I can't remember all the numbers. I dove deep one day and I was on one of those calculators. And I just played with it until momentum and kinetic energy were after a certain point.
Yes.
Wasn't as heavy as what you've been recommended if you've watched
yes
arrow stuff. So I was like, like I said, not knowing anything, not having a bunch of deer on the wall, I'm just thinking to myself, something here isn't adding up.
Right.
Numbers right. Going down, and I'm 100 grains below what's being recommended.
Right. Yeah, and that's very true for most people's setup. If you've got your arrow right and you're set up and your arrow's tuned to your bow and your bow's in tune, then from the testing that I've done with most broadheads, that 450 grain mark seems to be a real ideal weight for just about anything. The problem is your broadhead choice now becomes an issue. So let's say you have the perfect arrow set up, everything's tuned, you've done all your whatever paper, walk back tuning, however, whatever you want to do, and you're satisfied, and then you're still a bit on the light side, but then you go ahead and you decide you're going to shoot a 2.5-inch mechanical broadhead that has to open as it's going into your animal. For me, that situation spells disaster, because now do you have enough momentum to get those blades to open? And once they're open, are you going to continue with enough energy to be able to get your pass through? And this is what I tell people a lot in seminars and different times that I'm lecturing. Imagine running through the woods with your arms crossed on your chest, and then run through that same woods or brush with your arms wide out. You have a higher chance of getting slowed down, hitting something, coming into contact with something. And that's the same thing with your broadhead. If you're shooting an 1.5-inch broadhead, it's got that resistance on both sides. The farther you spread your wings, the more resistance you have on the end of those wings, and the more momentum is required to get the penetration. So I think everybody's into this giant cut craze. I think that's where most people go wrong, but it is the time where those heavy arrows will shine because it does provide what those large cuts need.
Okay. No, that's a cool way of looking at it. And like you said, running through some thick woods either with your arms crossed or your arms out. That's a good, you know, mental picture, I guess. But, and that's true too. Like you said, it, with bigger and bigger cuts on mechanicals, which, you know, in theory, I'm not against, you know, big cut is good in a lot of ways, but you're also, everything has a plus and a minus, you know, as far as that goes. So, you know,
it does. You hit that 2-inch mark, the whole game changes. So when we've tested broadheads from 1-inch all the way to 3-inch, and I hate to say it, but we've even tested stuff that's 4-inch where you have a secondary blade that might be at the end of your insert, you know, where people have put those big secondary blades back behind their broadhead.
Yep.
You get up into that stuff, it's disastrous if you're not set up right. That those will steer themselves different ways through the animal. They won't deploy. They won't penetrate. If you hit a shoulder, you know, if you hit a scapula, they'll just bounce. So you really, you know, when you're studying what you want to do for yourself, you just have to consider, what am I hunting? How far am I going to be? And what do I really need to do the job most efficiently?
Yeah, makes sense to me. I think that covers that. I'm sure some people will disagree and possibly let us know, but you know.
Oh, sure. I hope. that's what makes all this so much fun, right? I mean, everybody's got an opinion, and just like broadheads, there's a ton of great ones out there, and everybody has an opinion on what's best. And you know, my thing on what's best is, if it's best for you because you've tested it, you used it, it works great in your setup, that's awesome. If it's best for you because somebody's sending you free product or showing you off on their site because you bought their stuff and it's not really the best for you, then that's where I start to have problems, because that's when guys, you know, that are new and girls for that matter and youth look up to some of these people, and they're just selling a product. And that's what's most important to them, is, you know, there's a little bit of fortune and glory involved. And for me, like I said, somebody calls here, I'll recommend another broadhead if I think that their setup is best suited for it, or in their mind, they want something bigger or better. I have no problem with that, because we all need to really stick together in this industry. You know, it's getting, with hunting regulations and the crazies out there, it's going to get harder and harder, and we need to be a united front. And so I think there needs to be a lot less sticking your chest out and a lot more just helping each other and helping the youth and helping new hunters with solid information. And for us, I'm privileged and blessed to work for a guy that we, customer service and people and the game they're hunting is more important than our sales. And that's why I have stuck with Afflictor. That's why they are my only client, and I'll be with them forever, because, you know, it just allows me to work on a super honest, super true platform with a product that's proven and works great, and I can sleep good at night. I like that.
Yeah, no doubt. That's awesome to hear. And, you know, I love that, you know, doing a podcast, you know, there's all kind of TV shows, and I'm not against sponsors or people that have sponsors, but to your point, when it's more about selling the product than it is actually giving information, recommending what may or may not work for other people, you know, there's definitely a line there. So,
right. Totally agree. Yeah. Yeah, there is. And if a guy calls and he's adamant that he wants a 2-inch mechanical, we don't have that. I've tested most all of them. I'm happy to tell him which ones I like the best and then send them to John Lusk's YouTube.
Yeah, you want to spend some money on broadheads, check these out.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, that's cool. There's a lot of them that look cool, though.
Yeah, there is. There is.
and perform well depending on, you know, the situation. So
that's very true. It's all about what do you want? Do you want something that's more durable, something that's more dependable, something that flies great long distance, something that has a big cut, I mean, something that leaves a coring hole. The list is endless.
Yeah, that's cool, man. And you know, I'm never going to not buy a broadhead because it explodes going into a cinder block. But, you know, it's right. Nice what it'll do in certain situations.
Sure. Sure it is. Yeah. And then you always get the comments, I'm not hunting cinder blocks. You know, that's
of course.
Yeah.
I'm not hunting ballistics gel.
Yeah, right. Right. And I hate ballistic gel. I mean, it's a nice metric and we use it for different things, but you know, it is, if you're comparing all of your results in ballistic gel, then you can get a real accurate metric using it. But just to go out and shoot into it, all it tells us is where did your broadhead open in the position of the gel? And the wound channel that it cut. That's about it. Because when you shoot ballistic gel, the first thing it does is it closes right around your arrow shaft and creates drag no matter what broadhead you have. And so, I don't know. We use it for certain things, but it's definitely not my favorite test.
Yep. Yeah, it's just one on the list. But yeah. Anyway, I appreciate you kind of going into all that, you know. I think, you know, good information, especially for people to consider if they've been, you know, just hammered down on one side or the other, you know, at least that gives kind of an objective look as, hey, consider what you're, if you're hunting a rhinoceros, you know what, go 750. I mean, you know, I don't know, but
well, sure. Your African outfitter will tell you, look, you can't come here without a 650 grain arrow with a fixed blade single bevel. Some of them are just like that. And yeah. So, you know, you definitely listen to your outfitter, but you're right. There's no, you know, guys will say, well, if it'll take out a rhinoceros and I know it'll take out a whitetail. Well, sure. Sure. It will through both shoulders probably. Is it necessary? I mean, cause guys really, the archery should be fun. Hunting should be fun. And people start to stress out about this and it gets closer to season and they get more stressed and our phone lights up and do I have the right, this is my arrow heavy enough? Do I have the right FOC? And you know, I get the details and help them out, but mostly just take a deep breath and enjoy this whole process. When it's no longer fun, then it's not worth it anymore.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, it is supposed to be fun. So at least the way I look at it.
Yes.
That's cool, man. Hey, I can't have you on without asking what your fall hunting plans are. You know, I know y'all probably work a lot.
Yeah, unfortunately, and I'll say this for anybody who thinks that working in the hunting and fishing industry or the TV industry is glamorous and awesome, if you're on this side of it where you're in the manufacturing, sales, and marketing, you don't get to hunt because your busiest seasons are during hunting season. So I'm a turkey nut, so thankfully turkey season for me in the spring is our calmest season. And so I do turkey hunt nonstop. I enjoy that. As when fall rolls around, like as of 3 weeks ago, the phones are off the hook. All of our comments from YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, social media websites, it just goes up 200-500% and it's just nonstop. So I cross my fingers and hope that I can get out. But another blessing for me is I can walk right out my backyard and walk, you know, 400 yards and be in my tree stand. So sure. That usually is my plan. I did draw a doe tag and have a buck tag for PA. So I'll be headed there, hopefully, for a day or two. Other than that, brother, I'll be working my butt off.
I gotcha. I know. That must be nice to be in the right.
Yeah, right. It's all glorious. Well, it just kind of keeps the lights on. Yeah. You know, if you're not Waddell or somebody else that actually gets to travel and hunt and do whatever because that's what you do for a living, the industry can be a tough place.
Yeah, there's a few guys kind of at the top of that food chain that it probably is pretty nice, but
yeah, I'm sure.
But But they worked to get there. So
yeah, they sure did. They sure did.
Anyway, that's cool, man. Well, at least you get to go turkey hunting. Do you, since you mentioned that, and you're with Afflictor Broadheads, do you aim for like vitals or head? Where do you aim on a turkey when you're bow hunting them?
Well, on our YouTube channel are two turkey video shot placement. One of them, I use a turkey, mounted turkey, and the other one, I do a complete dissection. I show you the organs, the placement. I lift the feathers, pull them back down, show you the wing placement and everything. Because when it comes to the turkey, the vitals are high. And there's turkeys kind of have a low percentage for archery harvest because, you know, people kind of shoot them center mass or a little bit low and there's nothing there. That's all breast meat. So you really have to be a little higher where that wing joint type area is, that little divot on the side of the turkey. That spot is where the vitals really are. But my two favorite shots on turkeys with archery is when my prime favorite is facing away from me, full fan, and shoot them right up the pie hole. They are they will drop right there. I mean, and plus with their fan open, they can't see you draw. Their eyes are totally hidden from you. And the other shot is facing you right in the beard, right above the beard. And they drop on that shot too. So those are my two favorite.
Okay, cool. No, I appreciate that. I'll have to maybe watch those videos before next spring.
Yeah, they're fun. And hopefully by next spring, this hasn't even been announced and I don't know that we'll be able to pull it off yet or not, but we are working on a turkey decapitation broadhead. So you can do the head and neck shots with an afflictor. So that's something that's being worked on. Cross your fingers. You might be able to see that this spring.
Okay, cool. Well, my next question was, you know, if you wanted to launch any new products on the podcast here. So
yeah, that's one of them. And then we have two more that are in process right now. They both just finalized their testing and we're working on manufacturing.
Cool. Well, Chris, I appreciate you fighting through some technical difficulties and joining me for a little while today. I've enjoyed talking with you, getting to know you a little better and Afflictor a little better. And even without a bunch of experience or animals killed, I'm as happy as ever to have Afflictors on my arrows this year.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure. And hey, I wish you a lot of luck. And I will be praying that you get to run your first arrow through your first whitetail.
Thank you so much for listening to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast today. If you're not, please do follow along with us on Instagram at Wannabe Hunting Podcast. That's where you can stay most up to date with what we have going on. And I do want to say thank you so much to Chris for coming on. Really appreciate him and some exciting things upcoming for Afflictor. And keep an eye on what they are putting out. Check out their Instagram and all that stuff as well, because anytime they have a new technology or broadhead, you'll see it there. And really enjoyed talking with Chris. Just fun conversation and cool stuff talking about broadheads. Season is almost here. We're seeing velvet bucks, going down in Tennessee and Kentucky and Nebraska and South Carolina. And of course, they've been hunting for over a month down in South Florida. So that's pretty crazy. But we're getting ready to go here in most of the country, a few more weeks. So super excited about that. Trying to stay up on shooting the bow every day, all that good stuff, and just get everything tuned and ready to go just as well as possible so that we have the most success possible in the woods. So that's the plan. Appreciate Chris coming on. Appreciate you guys listening today. Appreciate Anabolic Grow sponsoring the episode. Good folks over there. Check them out. And I just want to say good luck to everybody. Enjoy Labor Day again if you're listening to this on the 5th, and hope you got the day off. If not, I appreciate you working today as well. So as always, honor God, work hard, have fun, and keep hunting.